Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together this evening. We do thank you for one another, the history of what you've been doing in this place and through us. And we commit to you this evening, Lord, just our time and our hearts, Lord, and our ears. Help us to hear from you. We pray that as we share together, we would just know that you've got more for us and see what it is. Amen. Okay, we've got a little video to show you, which is all about doing mission together. It would be easy to kind of do things on our own, but actually it's so much more effective when we do things together. And hopefully, if this video works, Ojan, we'll get a good idea of that from this.
On a dangerous sea coast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a busy wee life-saving post. The building was just a glorified hut, and there was only one boat, but a handful of committed members kept a constant watch over the sea. There was no thought for themselves. They went out day and night, tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful wee place, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station. The wee life-saving post grew. Some of the members of the life-saving post were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. So they replaced the wee life-saving post with a larger building. Now it's become a popular gathering place for its members because they used it as a sorting club. Fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. And at this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in loads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. The beautiful new club was in chaos, so the committee immediately had a separate shower house built outside the club, where victims of shipwrecks in the future could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. They were finally voted down and told that they wanted to save lives of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving post down the coast. They did. As the years went by, the new life-saving post experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving post was founded. History continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that sea coast today, you'll find a number of exclusive clubs along the shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most of the people drown.
It's good. It's good, isn't it? Fairly powerful, I thought. I like that one. The idea of not being isolated. Let's do things together. I'm going to invite Andy up to come and lead us in worship. Just so you know, we've got a few different bits for this evening. Stephen's going to share a bit. Matt's going to share a bit. Sharon's going to be praying later. And we've got some prayer stations set up to think about prayer for the town. And also we're going to be having a bit of discussion around tables. What will it look like for God to do more through this place? So let's worship together. Okay, do take your seats. Do keep eating cake, by the way. I don't really want to have to take lots home. We'll only eat it. So do keep going through the evening. No, not you, Matt. Not you. Okay, Stephen, we've got a bit of a tag team now. Stephen's going to come and share a little bit about the history of churches together. Matt's going to eat as much cake as he can in the next 5 minutes.
Is that a ploy to stop him talking? Bad news for you, Matt, with your glasses, because it will come to the point where you go to the opticians, like happened with me about 5 years ago, and they say, Mr. Robinson, we think you now need varifocals. And this was the killer line. They said, because you've got to that age. So you've got that to come, mate, at that point. It's good to be here tonight, sharing together as churches together. And we often use those words. And I know in my own church, when I use those words, when I use them, I can see as I look out at people, and I can see a blank look on their face because they haven't got a clue what that is about. And that's one of the things we want to explore tonight. But let me do a quick test. First of all, have any of you joined one of the churches in Midsummer Norton since June 2014? Since June 2014. Okay, there's a few of you. So those of you who haven't put your hands up should be really good at what I'm about to share with you. Because in June 2014, if we can have the slide up, please, of what I've sent in, the churches in Midsummer Norton, we put this together as church leaders when it comes up. No, that's not it. It's the PowerPoint I sent through, hopefully. Matt could see it, so he could send it on. Have we got that? Please. It's called Stephen Slide, apparently. It's a new one. Okay, it's coming up. So in June 2014, at a United service, I think it was at our place, the five church leaders of the then five churches in Midsummer Norton signed a document, and those of you, some of you were there, I remember it, to express our commitment to each other and how we wanted to see the future mapping out. We'd done lots of stuff like WIT Funday and other stuff in the past, but we wanted to express a sort of a deeper understanding and commitment to each other. And this is the document that was signed. Now, anybody not seen that before? Quite a few. Right. Well, for those people, you need to go to your church leader and say, why haven't we got this displayed in our church? Because that's the reason it is. If there's any Methodists here tonight who have never seen this before, every time you walk through reception into the hall, you see it because it's hanging up there. Okay? So we hoped that in every church it would be hung up so that people could see it and see the commitment we expressed to each other. You probably can't read it because it's quite. This is just a picture of ours in reception. That's why you've got some strange shapes on it. That's the glow from the lights in reception, all right? So what it actually said was, churches together in Midsummer Norton is a vehicle which brings together in common purpose those churches in the town which, acknowledging God's revelation in Christ, confess the Lord Jesus Christ as God and Saviour according to the Scriptures, and in obedience to God's will and in the power of the Holy Spirit, commit themselves, this is what we committed ourselves to seek a deepening of their communion with Christ and with one another in the church, and to fulfill their mission to proclaim the gospel by common witness and service in the world to the glory of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the thoughts behind that was, we want to do things together. We don't know what that looks like in practice yet. We're wanting to seek out God's Spirit for us in that. But we know that we sense that there's something of God at work in Midsummer Norton that means as churches together, we want to not just sign a document that then sits on the walls of the various churches, but actually to do stuff together. And also, at the time when we were preparing this as church leaders, we wanted to sort of, shall we say, affect the DNA of all of our churches so that when we felt there was a piece of work which was important in our church life, we then asked the question, do we do this on our own, or should we talk to churches together about how we might do this together? Now, I don't know how much of that has happened in the various churches, or when you get into your church councils, PCCs, elders meetings, whatever it is, you just sit there and you just plan the next, I don't know how many months, and you do that without any sort of question of, actually, would this be better done together as all the churches in Midsummer Norton? And that was the thinking 5 years ago when we put this document together. And actually, slightly contradicting what Matt said at the start about we wanting to do more together, one of my beliefs is that it doesn't necessarily mean doing more together. Sometimes it means if we do it together, it takes less work, because we haven't got five churches all doing the same thing, but actually by doing that together, it means we're doing overall less. It takes less resources, but it's actually often a better product that we're doing, better activity that we are doing. Now, the last thing I'm going to say is that you will notice on the document, there are people who are no longer with us. So Christopher Chiplin, who retired, and he deserved it, last September. Father Michael, who we had the restructuring of the Catholic Church in the area, so now they only meet at Stratton-on-the-Foss, although they have a Mass on Saturday at the Catholic Church, is no longer involved with us. There's a chap up there called Mike Howell, who hasn't gone to glory. He's just retired, or whatever he's doing these days. So Sharon is our elder statesperson, and she's soon going. So I left, as it were, as the older statesman on that document, given a few months' time. But we just thought that tonight was a good opportunity for us together to think together, to pray together, to talk together about what this document means, what this statement means, what this intention means 5 years on for us as churches together. And particularly the bits that talk about, in the power of the Holy Spirit, commit themselves. So that presumes something's going to actually sort of happen, to seek a deepening of their communion with Christ. What does that look like? And with one another in the church. What does that look like? To fulfill their mission to proclaim the gospel by common witness. What does that look like? So there's lots of questions in there about what does this look like on the ground? How might we see that going and moving forward? And in that sense, Matt is going to hand over now to take us to the future. And this sort of dinosaur will move off the stage.
I was going to say, anybody that contradicts Matt Coombs is a friend of mine, first of all. So well done, that's good. But also, so Stephen has looked at history. I'm looking at the future, which I'm guessing is to do with the fact that I've not had the verifocal conversation had with me yet, which is good. Yet, but although he did say to me, next year we're going to have to talk about getting you some glasses. So I'm on the path. I've got a few questions for you this evening to follow up. So we've had a little bit of history, and thank you, Stephen. It's fantastic, isn't it, just to hear. Does it do your heart a little bit of good to hear about a bunch of church leaders in a town together saying, we are together, we're committed to one another? It should do. It doesn't happen everywhere, and I think you know that already. Got a few questions for you, okay? First question for you is this. I'm due to be tomorrow morning, but I'm not going. And I'm not going because I've got a dodgy back and one or two other bits going on that for the first time in 13 or 14 years, I said, I'm not going to go on this trip. I'm going to leave it a few weeks or months until my next trip. So the question is this. What do you think I will miss the most? It's not rhetorical, but you've got 3 or 4 minutes to think about the answer. I'll come back to that question, okay? So what do you think I'm going to miss the most? In the early church, if you asked somebody, which church do you go to? Just turn to somebody next to you and say, which church do you go to? Go on, go for it. See what people answer. Your church. Okay, that's enough being sociable just for the moment. If you ask people in the early church, if I rocked up to Andy in the early church, I said, hey, Andy, what church do you go to? He would have looked at me quizzically. Do you know why? because there was one church. We were the church. That was the idea. And there's a guy, a very smart guy at Yale University called Ramsay McCullen, and he said that in the first five generations of the early church, the church expanded by about 50,000 people every generation, to the point where in the Roman Empire, between 5 and 8% of the population were the church. But here's the interesting thing. They didn't have a single church building or any denominations. That's interesting, isn't it? So it looked a little bit different from how we look today. So what's changed and where are we headed? What does it look like today in Midsummer Norton and surrounding kind of villages? What does it look like in the UK today in 2020? Well, we know that the growth rate of the church is going down. You know that, right? And that should stir something of an urgency in you to think, hold on, what are we doing as churches together? We also know that there are many denominations. Have a guess. How many, just say to the person next to you, ask the person, how many denominations do you think there are globally in the world? Quick question. Go for it. Get a number. And I'm going to come to some people that I don't know so well. All right, let's have a few guesses. On this table, what did you say? Yes. 30? 30, okay, there's a guess. Let's have some more guesses. Thank you for that guess. 6,000, 5,000. This table, you look like you're going to get this right, especially Alison. Over 100? Okay, all right, you're way off, you're way off. Rubbish. You guys, got a bit of culture on this table. Too many, that's a good answer. Do you know how many there are? It's a little bit contested, but between 21,000 and 31,000 denominations around the world. What did you say, Pete? Did you say 32,000? That's impressive. You're not competitive at all, are you, Pete? Those of you that know Pete. Okay, here's the thing, okay? Different isn't bad, okay? We need to know that. It's just different. And it's good that we're different. We talk about this as church leaders fairly regularly, don't we? Stephen, Sharon, others. We say it's good that we're different. There are different flavors of church in our town. But if our first thoughts when we think about our churches is our differences, we're in trouble. There's something wrong. If your first thought, when you think of the Methodists, and then you think of the Anglicans and the Catholics and the Baptists and the Sally Army, and there's a new church that we still need to get to know, a black majority church, I think, in the town that started, any others that you may be able to think of. If our first thought is our differences, we've already shot ourselves in the foot, haven't we? In the early church, the first thought was we are followers of Jesus. We're followers of the way. We're committed to the mission that the Lord has given us. Here's my last question before I come back to my original question. Do you remember what it was, the original question? What am I going to miss about being in Iraq tomorrow? Here's a question for you. Which disciple was most like the Methodist Church? And which disciple was most like the Salvation Army? And which disciple was most like the Baptist Church? Got any ideas? This is harder, isn't it? Discuss it on your tables. Just 20 seconds. Go for it. All right. This is where we could really offend each other, isn't it? Anybody got any answers? I'm almost nervous to ask you. Okay, Andy, I'm actually quite nervous about this. All right, Andy, which denomination are you going to go for?
None of them?
Okay, so you're going to come up with the right answer, aren't you? So I'm going to ignore you. Anybody else in the room? Did anybody actually come up with anything? Any disciples that you thought, they're kind of most like this particular denomination? Keith, you must have come up with one. James did. All right, James, is it going to be rude and offend half the people in the room? Yes, it is. I'm just going to ignore James as well. And Gareth, your son, I'm going to ignore him as well, because you're as bad as your dad. What were you going to say? Does it need to be unfiltered? Okay, Gareth, give us your answer.
John the Baptist.
So John the Baptist would have been like the Baptists. We can live with that, can't we? He wasn't one of the disciples, by the way. Whose parents have you got? All right. Okay, in reality, it's a little bit ludicrous, isn't it? It's a ludicrous question. It's secondary at best. Maybe you could draw some lines between disciples and denominations today. It's a bit of a ludicrous question. But what we need to just keep in mind when we're thinking about churches together is that those guys, those first followers of Jesus, maybe they would have been disappointed if our first answer when we're asked the question, what church do you go to, is to align ourselves with a denomination rather than the living God, the Jesus that we all love and serve. That is our heart as church leaders moving forward into the future, 2020, next year, the following year, that we would lead you as your church leaders, servant hearts. We want to get it right and we won't always get it right, but we would love to lead you to a place that when somebody asks you, what church do you go to? Maybe your answer is something a bit more like this. Ah, in Midsummer Norton, we all love Jesus together. We're all followers of God together. And so we're kind of one church, but we've got different flavours. And if you want to know the flavour of church that I go to, oh, well, I'm a Catholic or I'm an Anglican. And I love that. But I love, actually, the main thing is that I'm part of a church in the town. Now, here's the deal. We're a long way off that, aren't we? Let's just be honest with one another. We are church leaders, I would say, are significantly further than some of our churches or some of our experience together. But that is where we would love to be headed. Exactly what it looks like, I don't think any of us know. Matt, Stephen, Sharon, any others who are here in leadership from those churches, we don't know all the answers, but we are saying clearly to you this evening that we would love to become more one church in Midsummer Norton and its surrounding area. Is that reasonable? You guys, I'm looking at the leaders. We knew roughly what we were going for tonight. One church with a range of flavours that we love one another. Okay, back to the question I had at the start, and then I'm going to hand back to Matt. What do you think I'm going to most miss tomorrow? Anybody got any ideas? Okay, Elizabeth, shout it out. Yeah, it's a good answer. I really am going to miss them. I so love these guys over there, and they're just brilliant. They're the 10% that have remained, and they're loving Jesus. They're serving him under incredible persecution. Gareth, as a nation, yeah, that's true, yeah. Claire, turning off from emails for a week. That was a little cheeky dig at me, but it was completely fair. Yeah, Malcolm. Okay, Malcolm's getting closer. Here's what I'm going to miss the most, is when we sit in a room like we're doing together this evening, none of us know which shade of church we are. We know one thing. We want to see Jesus loved in that nation. And you eat with people. You have prayer times with people. You go out and you do stuff that could be slightly risky with people. But you don't actually know who's who. And I want to pray briefly before I hand back to Matt that maybe a little bit of our future together as churches in this town and the surrounding area would be that we don't really know who's who, and that's okay. Does that make sense? Wouldn't you love it that you came together and you looked at one and you thought, it doesn't matter too much whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, an Anglican, whatever it may be. We are for Jesus, and we want to see this town for Jesus. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for this fantastic history that these men and women of God, 5 years ago, they got hold of something together. And they said, you know what? There's something more important than just doing our own thing. It's about answering that prayer that Jesus prayed, John 17, that we'd be one. And thank you that they made a move towards that. And thank you that we've got a bunch of church leaders who are prepared to come together and say, well, how are we doing? And we ask you this evening, even through us being here, we pray spiritually, there'd be a step forward that says, Lord Jesus, what next towards being one church with many different flavors and expressions? Father, give us a humility towards one another. And we pray that any spirit of competition would just be driven straight out of our lives together. And we'd be left, first and foremost, with an identity as those that love Jesus. Everything else second. First and foremost, we're those that love you and have given our lives to follow you. Pray that you'd help us as we look at the future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, you've done enough listening. It's time to get thinking a little bit. It's been good. Hopefully, you're getting a little feel for what it could mean to be doing more together or doing less together, as Stephen said. The question that I'd like you to think about on your table, so you've got kind of 10 minutes to discuss this, have a good think. How do we grow in unity to reach the lost? Okay, so that's what you're thinking about. How do we grow in unity as churches together to reach the lost? Go for it. Have a good think. I'll give you one example. Jean's over there. She's going to be thinking, what? Stephen gave me a nudge that you'd shared something recently. So can I bring the mic to you? You can share one of the things you'd mentioned.
Well, some years ago, I really felt that God was speaking to me about the churches together and about how we could love him together. And I talked to some of the clergy about it. because I felt so strongly about it. And then it all sort of simmered down a little bit. And we got other, you know, other things got in the way of things and everything. Anyway, at our recent prayer meeting, that there were only three of us there, but something was shared about churches together, that it was struggling, and that we were, and it suddenly came on me again that I felt God was saying, we must get together to pray, and it's grassroots praying. Just not perhaps people in leadership positions, but small prayer groups that were ecumenical, that were, you know, just Christians praying together. And this is what we need to do. Lots of little prayer meetings all together.
Great. So there is one example of something, some way we could grow in unity to reach a lost. Praying together, it seems deadly obvious, doesn't it? But somehow we don't always do it. So there's one example. You've got kind of 10 minutes. Have a good chat. Have a think. Be a bit crazy if you want. Go out there or think kind of simply, whatever it is. Just have a good think. How could we grow in unity as churches together to reach the lost? Go for it. You've got pen and paper on your tables, so write things down. Okay, is anybody brave enough to share some of their ideas? What have we got? I'm looking over here because there's a big list on this table. Okay. Oh, shopping. No, go on. Anything? Kate? So. Okay, here we are.
Okay, so we talked about diversity being a good thing, and meeting the needs to reach out, and that there's diversity within church and within the lost. They're not all one group. And we were talking about outreaches together and thinking of the things that we already do that we could include other churches and share, which might help make them just easier to run or whatever. So things like Park Run and Enfest. I've experienced some great Christmas activities at the Methodist Church. I'm very new to the area, so I've hardly been anywhere. Picnic in the Park, there's ideas for charities, that's an idea. Charities like a House for the Homeless that you could resource better if you worked all together, or any other charity type thing, food bank, or working together. Resources, there's a charity Restored that give advice and help to churches who need to help someone in domestic abuse within the church. That's quite tricky for a small church, but sharing resources could mean that when you do need it, it's there. Activities shared, more people coming along, more chances to outreach, training, also sharing, you know, resources, and things, just practical things like transport, having a kind of more of a sort of database of people that if someone says, I really want to come to church but I can't, more people might have resources they can share.
Thank you. That's a good list. Yeah. That's a good list. We're doing bits, aren't we? I think food bank's a good example of doing things together. Even though Sharon and Salvation Army head it up, there's actually a good bunch of volunteers, and it'd be great to see more of that, I think, in other places. One thing we've talked about is that it'd be really good if actually we had a kind of team of people who've got a real heart for more of this stuff, churches together. So one sort of thing I want you to think about this evening, if it's you, is that something you would like to be getting involved with to actually carry some things, these things forward? It isn't going to happen overnight. We're not saying, oh, it's got to be done tomorrow. But it's just a bit of a thing to put out there. As church leaders were saying, it shouldn't just be us trying to do this stuff. It should be a lot more people. So one for you to think about. Anything else? Any others which weren't on that list? Well done, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I always have an opinion on everything. I do apologise. I couldn't quite hear what was all that was being said over there. My ears are both blocked. Never mind your eyes. I feel that moving forward together will come not from inside the churches, but from joining together in outreach. Amazing things have been happening in the community already during the past few years. I won't elaborate, but most people know about them anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, there are really good things, aren't there? We shouldn't miss those.
So these are just a few things that we come up with as a table, but we just noticed that over Christmas that we've just had, that a lot of churches weren't holding a lot of services. So we just come up with the idea of publicising who is holding a service when others aren't. We were also talking about seeing the need and taking action when and where it was needed. Through my own opinion, and this is my honest, truthful opinion, just from my church, from the Salvation Army point of view, but I've noticed that with our church, we don't have, at the moment, we don't have a youth group or anything going on. So we were just thinking about talking and saying that maybe our youth and some other youth that don't have youth things going on during the week could, as we know that Welton have got quite a few going on, so we were on about sort of just trying to engage them into that. We were also talking about, well, I come up with sort of just talking about and waiting on God's call to engage with others and just taking that action when it was needed.
Yeah, good. Again, that's I think particularly the sharing resources is a kind of, it sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? But how do we actually make some of this stuff happen? That's good. Okay, one more, John.
Okay, yeah, our sort of theme was really around getting to know each other more and better, and a lot of these things were covered. We talked about pulpit exchanges, if you want to call them that. We do them fairly infrequently, but maybe that could be more regular. But then getting together a bit like this, we had an interesting discussion around here about house groups that... St John's are struggling to get house groups going, and we've got quite a lot of house groups, so there should be some sort of forum that we can share experiences and maybe things that we've done, I don't know, but spending a lot of time talking to each other, and where there's like duplicated meetings, marriage course, Park Run was mentioned, Alpha, parenting course, things like that. That we ought to know what each other are doing, so that we don't duplicate that.
Yeah, good. Thank you. We've done a few bits together, haven't we? I was thinking the Bible project. We joined the Methodist. I know some of our congregation went for that. Joe's nodding away. That was a good one. Okay, really last one.
Somebody suggested that perhaps together we could have more of a part in town events like the town fair. You've done activities, we provide food, there's various individual stores, but I don't think we do anything together for the music festival. We wondered about a Churches Together holiday lunch club. It has been mentioned but not got off the ground. And we felt that more communication with the town council about the needs in the town might be helpful.
Yeah, good. Thank you. That would be a really good one, wouldn't it? To find out what's actually needed. Sometimes we kind of assume what's needed, and actually some of the town council could really help us with that. Thanks for those thoughts. We've got a bit of time to pray now, and I really want to make use of this time. There's some tables around. Let me just remember what they all are. This one over here, it's thinking about praying for safety. So it's actually praying for the police. And there's a few things on there about street pastors, door staff, at the pubs. And it's just to encourage you to pray about those things. And I've put a verse in there about not fearing, because I think sometimes when we think about these things, we can get a bit overwhelmed and actually get fearful about it. But actually, we believe in a God who can make a difference. And so if you're praying there, pray really positively that God would make a difference. Fee has set up to pray for schools over here. Where's Fee gone? There he is. That's correct, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If you'd like to pray for schools, you'll be over there. And over on that table over there, Pete set up to pray about care in the town. Is that right, Pete? So there's a place to pray for prayer, for care. And... this table, there's nothing on there, but I really thought if you've got other things you'd like to pray about, which kind of, it could be churches together or other things locally, which you don't want to share it with someone, or maybe you do, but you can light a candle over there. Just say a prayer, light a candle, and you can be quiet over there if you like to, maybe if you want to be really quiet. So it's a bit of moving around, but it'd be good to pray together. And I'm just going to hand over, because we said we'd pray for St. John's as well. Can I...
Hi, my name is Carol, and I'm one of the church wardens at St John's. And it's a perfect time tonight to ask you, please, if you could pray for our church, if you could pray for the right person to be called to our church, help us in our prayers, and help that one person who is looking for somewhere to come to St John's and be with us and be with all of us here, getting the churches together in a better way. It would be really lovely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carol. Do be praying, and also think about Sharon. Who's going to be coming after Sharon? Big shoes to fill there. And it's exciting, isn't it? That actually, we could feel worried, we could feel anxious, and a little bit like, oh, we don't want to lose Sharon. But actually, who's God going to bring to this town? And I really think that should be a big bit of what we're praying. Who's God going to bring into leadership so that actually churches together becomes really strong, and we just see more and more happening. So I encourage you, you can get up, walk around for a little bit, go wherever you want. You've only got kind of 10 minutes, you haven't got a lot of time. But go to the place where you'd like to go and pray, and spend some time praying there. Really go for it. It's good. I do like a candle, I have to say. Don't tell Joe, but I do like a candle. Not a smelly one. Just. Okay, we're just aware that we could easily kind of say, all right, this evening, give us all those sheets in. We'll kind of shuffle them away, shove them in a drawer, and see you next year. That was good. But we really, really want to be doing a bit more than that. And I kind of mentioned earlier, if you're kind of got a heart for this, you've got a heart for churches together, maybe it's something you could get more involved with. What we're looking to do is set up a new group of people from different churches who would be really keen to take some of these ideas forward. We're not going to agree to anything tonight or plan anything tonight, but this is a genuine, okay, within the next few weeks, who would be able to join in and carry this group and do a bit more as churches together. Have a think and a pray about it. It's not a sign up tonight on the dotted line. We need to think and pray as church leaders. Who are the right people? Who's going to actually really grow what we do as churches together? So please, if that's kind of striking a chord with you, do speak to your church leader, and we'll get things moving. It's going to be good.
Let's pray. Father God, as we've met together this evening, it's blessed our hearts to be together in this place. But we want to have blessed your heart because our flavours have met together and blended as one this evening. And we get excited to think that you want to do amazing things in this place, that you can do infinitely more than what we imagine or even dared to dream on these pieces of paper this evening. Father, this is just the beginning of the new thing that you want to do in this place in the days that are yet to come. And so as we've looked back at 2014, when we signed a piece of paper, committing ourselves to working together in communion with each other, growing deeper in that communion, we're sorry for those times when we've dared to even move apart from that. But Lord, we thank you that you're bringing us back together. And as we work within our own buildings, in our own different flavours, Lord, may we constantly think that we are all here working for Jesus. He's the person that unites us. He's the person that enthuses us. And Lord, we know that there are many in our town who need him in an amazing way. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Pour your spirit, not just on us, but on our town. And may we have hearts ready to respond to working together in the ways that we can. How we do Jesus together in this place. So Lord, I thank you for all the prayers that have gone up this evening. I thank you that you have heard every single one. But Lord, now help us be responsible for putting those things into action. Not just talking about it, but actually doing something about it. So Lord, as we go from this place, we go knowing that you go with us, and we pray that your presence will just remain with us. Keep us safe. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Until we meet again in this way, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.